On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Mark Reardon.
I mean, my gosh, guys. He's unbelievable.
This country was built on hard work, added value, and talent, not on equal outcome.
Mark Reardon.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
Yeah, he has that effect on people.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
All right, let's get going here for a Thursday edition, and we are once again fully loaded and stacked with a lot of stories. Some of them are not very good. They're tragic. You have new information this afternoon. Harvard is not very happy because Trump's trying to get involved in some of the foreign students. That's the story that I just saw in the New York Times, which I thought was interesting, but a lot of reaction. We still have media denial out there about Joe Biden. This book is getting a ton of attention. I spent much of the, for those of you who were with us, you knew this, I spent much of the 5 o'clock hour yesterday talking about the Jake Tapper book and the response and the in particular the podcast that Megyn Kelly did with Jake. But they're out there humping this book. But I have a soundbite this afternoon that really is incredible from our friends at PBS. And you would think that they have heard nothing about this book that Alex Thompson and Jake Tapper wrote. You'd think that this is still being pulled out of thin air, that we're all, the conservative media is making all this up. But as many of us know, that is not the case. But, you know, I was thinking about this in the aftermath, too, of playing all that audio yesterday, because as impactful as it was, and as much as Megyn Kelly just completely kicked Jake Tapper's ass, I thought to myself, well, who's really going to hear this, right? Who's going to hear it? Because it's not even getting attention on Fox, because they don't want to give Megyn Kelly any credit because she's a former Fox star. So I never, Fred, have you seen stuff today?
No.
Other clips, but not clips from that interview,
right,
which was still absolutely the best interview. Now you have Ezra Klein, who did an interview on this. And Ezra Klein, you know, they're focusing. I want to focus a little bit on cover-up because this, in my opinion, I think Charles Lipson, who's going to join us here in just a little bit, agrees. This is one of the biggest cover-ups in American political history. And there's no doubt in my mind. And there are still people acting out there like it never even happened. Like, well, you know what? We kind of, so they're separating. This is what's important here. They're separating the campaign, Biden who was campaigning, from Biden who was president. And you can't do that, okay, because the guy was president before he was campaigning, certainly in 2024. So it's nuts what's going on out there. And, you know, even the reaction to the shooting in Washington is crazy. We're going to cover all of it here this afternoon. We got Charles coming up. He's awesome. One of our favorites on politics. We'll do Sue's News, of course, in the next hour. We're going to also update people on some of the tornado relief that we're getting involved with here at 97.1 FM Talk. Fred heard Brent Velikovich, who's been on the show before. He's a drone expert. And, you know, you have this discussion now about the Golden Dome, the weapons protection system. Some of us are old enough to remember Star Wars from the 80s when Ronald Reagan talked about that. But this is kind of interesting. Now it's very expensive, too. We have the Big Beautiful Bill. Dwayne Patterson will weigh in on that in the 5 o'clock hour. And then TJ Moe, who I love, former Mizzou NFL player. He contributes to Fearless with Jason Whitlock. He is never shy about his political opinions. And he's going to be with us just a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour before audio cut of the day. Fred, I don't know if you listened to the end of the show, but I basically turned the whole 5 o'clock hour into audio cut of the day.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, so I didn't play the sound or anything because we were playing such good audio yesterday.
You had so much sound.
It was unbelievable. And we had to make some adjustments on the fly, which often happens, but I think there were good adjustments in the end. We were going to speak with someone yesterday from Awake, Illinois, Shannon Adcock, who will be with us. Here again, I feel like I'm living in an alternative universe where you have people out there defending biological boys competing against women. We had a former NFL star, Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher, came out today and made some statements, you know, in support of young women. But the question that keeps getting asked time and time again, we've asked it, Riley Gaines has asked it, Olivia Krolchak, who's a guest on this show, has asked it, where are the women? Where are the women, the prominent women out there, whether they're politicians or athletes, that are willing to step up and say, this is unacceptable? So I'm still a little bit baffled by that. But you want to start on the shootings here? Because now we know that this certainly was a targeted shooting. A guy who now has a manifesto that is becoming public as well, and they're kind of descending on his home. He lived in Chicago. It's targeted anti-Semitic violence. And by the way, this is not new. Somebody posted this morning, so let's see if I can pull this up. Here's just a collection of headlines from around the country in the last 6 months. University of Michigan Regents home vandalized in anti-Semitic attack. Jewish students at UCLA were harassed, threatened, and assaulted on campus, report finds. Harvard students charged with assaulting Jewish classmates, receiving a slap on the wrist. Two Israeli embassy staff members killed outside Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C. That was what happened yesterday. University of Pittsburgh FBI investigating second attack on Jewish student in a month. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Now, if this was just one, right, think about what happened last night. If this was one police shooting, oh my God, if a cop shot someone who deserved to be shot, like Mike Brown, okay, if the cops did something like that in this day and age, well, they'd run with it like crazy again in the media because they cannot wait to stoke the racial fires at every turn. We also have the big, beautiful bill, which is up for consideration now heading over to the Senate. They did pass it. They barely passed it, but they got it across the finish line. I'm not completely sure I have all my opinions on that completely formed because I know that there were some compromises that were made. You always have to make compromises. I think they got it across the line with just one vote. I think Chip Roy voted for it, if I'm not mistaken. He was one that was coming out. We played the audio yesterday in the Freedom Caucus that was making a lot of noise saying, look, we got to make sure that this is not getting out of control with spending. But at the Israeli embassy last night, you had two young people who were shot at very close range. DHS is investigating. The FBI is involved. And it's just a terrible, terrible situation. And the guy, he apparently acted alone, but the guy hung around. Sue, I don't know if you've heard even the details of this. The guy stays around for a while, and the witnesses think that he was just there, you know, like they were, and just reacting because they heard gunshots, and then all of a sudden they're talking to this guy. And I'll give you some details on this in a second. His name is Elias Rodriguez. He's 31 years old. He was arrested after the shooting that killed Yaron Lozinski, who was an Israeli citizen, and Sarah Milgram, who's an American. They were supposed to be engaged to be married very soon. So here's Carolyn talking about this at the briefing a little bit earlier today.
The evil of anti-Semitism must be eradicated from our society. I spoke to the Attorney General this morning. The Department of Justice will be prosecuting the perpetrator responsible for this to the fullest extent of the law. Hatred has no place in the United States of America under President Donald Trump. Everyone here at the White House is praying for the victims' friends and families during this unimaginable time.
Well, no, not everyone, because Ilhan Omar isn't doing that. This is stunning, too. You would think that on a case like this, but we should have learned when you had the UnitedHealthcare guy that was murdered, that a good portion of the left is not going to condemn violence. They love this stuff because they hate America, like Ilhan Omar, who is a member of Congress. I mean, I honestly wish we could deport her ass and just send her back because she is disgusting.
Congresswoman Omar, can I get your reaction to the shooting that happened?
I'm going to go for now.
What? You can't even condemn that. How outrageous is that? Here's the Attorney General, Pam Bondi.
No parents should have to be called and told that their children were violently murdered, leaving a religious event at the Jewish Museum. That should never happen in this world and not in our country.
Okay, Ethan is pressing a button here because apparently on the stream they could not hear me. It was really good. For those of you who did not hear the opening 5 minutes.
Our best ever.
It was, man, that was the best damn monologue I've ever done in my life. I'm going to tell you right now. Here's the Israeli ambassador.
The couple that was gunned down tonight in the name of Free Palestine. It's a young couple about to be engaged. The young man purchased a ring this week with the intention of proposing to his girlfriend next week in Jerusalem. They were a beautiful couple who came to enjoy an evening in Washington's cultural center.
But most of the media coverage from the legacy media is acting like this. Ah, you know, it's kind of a random shooting here. Maybe the guy was, who knows? But what they're saying is totally off base. Even just looking at the Washington Post and the New York Times coverage this afternoon, it's disgusting. Here's what happened.
Prior to the shooting, the suspect was observed pacing back and forth outside of the museum. He approached a group of four people, produced a handgun, and opened fire, striking both of our decedents. After the shooting, the suspect then entered the museum and was detained by event security. Once in handcuffs, the suspect identified where he discarded the weapon, and that weapon has been recovered, and he implied that he committed the offense.
Look, I wish they would have taken the guy out right there. I guess he needs his due process, right? But here's what he wants. He wants the attention to the cause. That's what they want here, and unfortunately, that's probably what they're going to get. We still have outrageous things happening. Fred, what's the cut from Columbia University? This is amazing. This is really amazing. This is the current president, right, of Claire Shipley of Columbia.
We firmly believe that our international students have the same rights to freedom of speech as everyone else, and they should not be targeted by the government for exercising that right. And let me also say that I know many in our community today are mourning the absence of our graduate, Mahmoud Khalil.
Yeah, so let's chant here for Mahmoud Khalil, a terrorist and a guy that shouldn't have ever been in this country, and we shipped him out. This is kind of in the framework, not necessarily related to the D.C. shooting, but I'm just stunned that Columbia still has not learned their lesson here. And, you know, Harvard's going to be at it now, too. Look, we're not targeting students. For instance, we're targeting people who should not be here in this country, probably to begin with. But let me get back to the shooting, because this is stunning when you hear these witnesses and what they said in the aftermath of this. This guy's just hanging around.
He looked very scared, but I thought it was because he had just witnessed a murder. I didn't think for a second he was actually the murderer.
At that moment, I just see the best in people, so I didn't presume. Someone mentioned there was a gunshot. I wasn't like, well, it must have been him. My thought was this poor man experienced a shooting. Do need water. I looked the killer in the eyes, said, can I get you water?
Wow.
He said, yes, that would be great. And I walked to get it to him, and I literally handed it off. Unbeknownst to me, moments ago, this man had execution-style killed two people. Not one shot. We're talking multiple gunshots. I looked evil right in the eye, and there he was. And seconds after I handed him the water, he brandishes the keffiyeh, yells Free Palestine, and then he's apprehended. And that's how it all unfolded.
Now, she sounds pretty calm. If I'm her, I'm thinking, man, I could have been shot in the head right there, right? I could have been assassinated. Here's another witness.
There was a man who came in, and he's like saying, like, call the police. And he's covered in rain, and he looks very distressed. And so we're trying to offer him some help. And even one of my friends asks him, like, are you okay? Can I get you some water? And he's like, yeah, actually, that'd be great. And I'm like, so do you like this museum? And he's like, kind of playing dumb with me. He's like, oh, what kind of museum is this? And I'm like, it's a Jewish museum. And he asks, do you think that's why they did it, in reference to the gunshots we had heard? And I was like, yeah, maybe, I don't know, but I don't think so. I hope not. That's when he reaches into his bag and pulls out a keffiyeh and says to me, I did it. I did this for Gaza. And then he starts shouting, free, free Palestine. And the police show up and arrest him.
So there is a manifesto, but here's what's interesting about that. It was posted online about an hour after the shooting on an X account that appears to belong to this guy, Elias Rodriguez. I'm not even comfortable with saying his name because I don't like to give attention to these people. Now, that could have been a scheduled tweet. My understanding is, because I use X, formerly Twitter, quite a bit, I don't think I can schedule a tweet. I tried to schedule a tweet. I'm not paying enough to be the person that schedules a tweet. So that's confusing to me just a little bit. Maybe someone else was involved. Certainly they're going to try to track this down. But the manifesto, and it's not, you know, I'm going to cite some things here from the Washington Post. They act like it's an apparent manifesto or an alleged. No, it's a manifesto. It's called Escalate for Gaza, Bring the War Home. It accuses Israel of genocide, says that a perpetrator may be a good person at times and yet be a monster all the same time. And then that message concludes Free Palestine, Elias Rodriguez. I think Senator Schmidt also weighed in on this today earlier on Fox.
It's a vicious murder. I mean, the reports are that this guy, who's been radicalized and a pro-Hamas terrorist, laid in wait and murdered this couple execution style, and then wanted to be caught. Sat there and chanted "Free Palestine." I mean, it's really a chilling episode, and so our hearts go out to the families. But this is, again, I think, this radicalization of this kind of desire by the pro-Hamas groups to sort of globalize the intifada, and it's dangerous stuff, and it's here on American soil, and we ought to be concerned.
You know, I've said this before, and it's true. This is a fight against Western civilization, and these college campuses where all this terrorist activity is festering, they should accept responsibility, because they're to blame for some of the stuff because they encourage it. So it's nuts what's happening out there. You had two young people about to be engaged who were, you know, shot down, and you have people on the left cheering this on, and a member of Congress, at least one, probably more, who can't even bring herself to condemn this in this horrific moment.
It's mind-boggling.
A lot of it's mind-boggling, and there's going to be a lot more covered here this afternoon. All right, by this time in the show, I was kind of assuming, but we're on a serious topic, that Sue is going to react to something that she hasn't reacted to.
Okay, I can't do it while you're saying all that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
But you got to kind of say something
all
now.
Right, freaking me out.
We can talk about it more at 4 o'clock. Go ahead. Get it out. Because
you shaved your face. You have no beard / mustache. It's freaking me out what happened.
For the first time in 10 years, I'll tell you at 4:07. How does that sound?
Gosh.
I'll tell you during Sue's news.
All right.
I just got, I don't know, had a wild hair, if you will. You can see it on the Twitter stream. Of the YouTube stream. Charles Lipson's coming up next. My daughter hasn't even seen me this way ever, like in her life.
Oh my gosh.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Charles Lipson is going to join us here in just a moment from the University of Chicago. But I was thinking about this after the show last night. I was listening to Laura Ingraham, and she was, you know, hammering on all this stuff about Biden. And Sue, I was going to toss this out to the listeners, but it's kind of obvious, and I want to make this point right now. There's one person who's kind of gotten off scot-free in all of this, and I don't even know if she is featured in the book or any of this coverage about Biden, which, by the way, more and more leaks out. It's even worse than we expected.
Yes.
But you know who's getting off completely scot-free right now?
Huh.
KJP. No one's talking about KJP.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I mean, talk about being complicit here with all of this.
Oh my gosh, he's the president of the United States. You know, I can't even keep up with him.
I would put the president's stamina, president's wisdom, ability to get this done on behalf of the American people against anyone on any day of the week.
This was the biggest cover-up in American political history. And by the way,
yes,
this
it was.
Is not about the campaign. Who in the hell was running the country? Who was running the country when all this was going on? Here's Scott Jennings last night on CNN.
Do you think there were some things that happened in 2020, 2021,
sure,
2022, that Republicans at the time were saying, maybe we've got to take a look at this? And,
yeah.
And not a lot of people wanted to listen, truthfully. So that's number one. Number two, I think a lot of people have looked at this as a campaign issue. My takeaway and reaction to all this the entire time has been, he was the president.
Yeah.
And this one comment in the book about how, you know, there was sort of a group of unelected people that were serving as a board that was sort of running the country, and he was at best a senior member of the board. That's not exactly what it says in the Constitution.
No, and that's from a cabinet secretary.
And
quote.
I mean, this is not what you sign up for when you vote for the president of the United States. And it calls into question who was running the country on a day-to-day basis. Were the policy decisions actually flowing from the president? And what responsibility does the Congress have now to go back in time and say, were these decisions legitimately made by the president of the United States?
Oh, I think they absolutely have to have hearings. And I think our friend Charles Lipson, professor emeritus at the University of Chicago, who wrote about this, agrees. How are you this afternoon, Charles? Yeah, who the hell was running the country, right?
We don't really know. We know that there was a Politburo of about five or six people around the president. None of them elected, of course. But that's true of all the president's aides in every administration. What's different in this case was, first, they were actively lying to the public. It's just amazing. amazing to listen to senior Democratic elected officials saying, hey, I hardly even knew the man. You know?
Well, I mean, you heard right there, that was Tapper with Jennings, and Tapper said that the sourcing for that quote was a cabinet member. It was a cabinet member.
Right, right. And then the second thing is that we know that the president's national security advisor recommends things to the president, the cabinet members recommend things, but ultimately the president, as George W. Bush put it, I'm the decider. But if these people are not the decider, if we don't know who was controlling the auto pen. So we don't know. I mean, I think
who opened
it's
the border?
Extremely.
Like, who opened the border, right? Who was that? Was that Joe Biden or was that somebody else?
Well, right. And I have a thought about the open border, because I was just writing another piece today about Iran. Talk about another great policy from that administration. The Trump had put on all the sanctions. Biden didn't repeal any of them. He just didn't enforce any of them. It was like the southern border. And the problem with in the Iran case of not enforcing them, I think it was a bad idea not to enforce them initially. Trump had bankrupted the country. But if you're going to try a new policy, you've got to wait for a year. You've got to look at it again after a year and see if it's working. The open border wasn't working. The policy with Iran wasn't working, but they stuck with them. In the case of the open border, they finally changed it sort of halfway in the final year as they face an election. It's also shocking that Biden was running for re-election.
Well, you know, one of the things I want to go back to, I mentioned this yesterday, Batyangar Sargon, who's a guest on a regular basis, she had a great quote a couple of nights ago. She said, the media, they were more interested in a fake pee tape as opposed to 11 million people crossing the border. So there was no even, except for Fox and Bill Malusian, there was no interest in covering that story at CNN and many of the legacy outfits. Now, this is interesting from Ezra Klein. He does an interview at the New York Times, wherever the hell he is now, I can't even remember where he is, with Jake Tapper. And he focuses, Charles, on the word cover-up. He goes, cover-up, that's what I want to get at here. He says, throughout this whole period, like many political reporters, I'm constantly asking people in the White House, how's Joe Biden in meetings? How's he doing? And they all say to a person, the line you often hear is, he can perform the presidency, but he can't, quote, perform the presidency. His communication skills have degraded, but as a decision maker, he's better than ever. And Ezra Klein says that kept a lot of people from writing about what was in front of your face. You think, well, these people are seeing things I'm not. If they tell me he's good in the meetings, I don't know if he's good in the meetings. So when you say there's a cover-up, this is Ezra Klein, my sense of these people is that this is what they believed, or at least had talked themselves into believing. Well, I don't think that's good enough. And Jake Tapper actually says, yeah, they were lying to themselves. They were lying to others. But the definition of a cover-up is when you're hiding something that is an ugly fact. And the ugly fact is that the Joe Biden that we saw at the debate on June 27th last year did not just step out of nowhere. That was Joe Biden. And that was the logical consequence of what they've been hiding in a big way since 2023. I'd say since the beginning of 2020. So I can't even believe I'm giving credit to Jake Tapper, of all people, for saying that it was a cover-up. It's not even debatable whether it's a cover-up.
I think that's exactly right. And one of the things that's been disclosed in the new book, of which I've only read excerpts, is that they put together a fake town hall in the White House.
Oh, this is great, yeah.
And recorded the whole town hall, and they were looking to see if they could use some clips as part of an ad for the Biden campaign. He was so incoherent, they couldn't use any clips.
Yeah, have you heard the excuse on that? This is what Alex Thompson says. Well, you know what they said is that the lighting wasn't good. So they spent millions of dollars staging this. And by the way, it's not unusual for a campaign to stage something like that. But the guy was given the questions in advance. for a campaign event, that's probably not unusual either. The difference is he couldn't even answer the questions that were given to him in advance. They all knew it. They all covered it up. They all lied.
Right.
Now, how some of that didn't leak out from the people that were in that room, I have no idea. I don't know if there's NDAs involved.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive.
That's impressive. But let me just tell you, you know the great singer Delbert McClinton. He had a song with the title, "If You Can't Lie No Better Than That, You Might As Well Tell the Truth."
That's right. Well, okay, let me offer another example here. This is stunning to me. This did not happen yesterday. It was 2 days ago. But let's face it, we are now at least a week and a half, 2 weeks into the coverage of this book. And by the way, I keep referencing David Zweig. David Zweig wrote a great book, Abundance of Caution, about all the lies that were told, you know, by this administration in COVID. That's a whole other aspect of this. But this is a conversation on PBS. And if these Republicans do not defund the living crap out of these idiots that keep lying, this is a conversation from this week, Charles. Listen to this. Amna Nawaz and Tamara Keith on PBS.
Also seen Republicans pounce in a way that should have been expected, maybe, but Donald Trump Jr. has posted online claiming that the diagnosis here was part of a wider cover-up around Mr. Biden's health. He's also repeating unfounded claims that Biden clearly had dementia. Is this the kind of thing that you see picking up steam among
unfounded claims? Now, she's talking about the cancer diagnosis, and by the way, they covered that up too, but she actually says unfounded claims?
Well, President Trump himself has now also made unfounded claims about how President Biden must have known that he had cancer long before this was made public. I think that we are in territory as a country where we have been for a very long time, which is there is intense interest in presidents' health, and presidents often conceal the full facts about their health from the American people. President Kennedy did. There are questions about President Reagan.
All right, I'm going to stop because that was a different era. But here's what I hear from a friend of mine this morning, and not exactly someone that's totally on my side of politics. He says, how is the Biden cancer thing not a huge story? He says, I went through a blank load of testing at 59 and 60 for prostate cancer at the very first sign that I might possibly have it. You're telling me that an 80-plus-year-old POTUS was just diagnosed with stage 4 after he left office? I mean, there are things that strain credibility, and then there's this BS.
Right. And they... and Biden put out his "Oh, pity me" statement, and I do pity him on a personal level, not on a political level, but on a personal level. But he put it out just before Tapper's book released, so it was all
coincidental, of course.
And I think that this is incredibly damaging, not just to the Democratic Party, but to the mainstream media, which totally deserves it. By the way, on PBS, my view is different, a little bit different maybe from most people. My view is that the problem isn't the bias, although it is just obvious and awful on both PBS and NPR. But the problem is that in America, the government should not be funding any news organization.
Thank you. That's right.
None. It should, when it changed its name from educational TV to public television, it lost any reason for existing. And it lost it, even though we all like some of the costume dramas, the British costume dramas and so forth. What the hell is the American taxpayer paying for that for? There's just no excuse for it.
Let me go back to one other thing that I heard last night. I heard Alex Thompson say something that, and I've heard a lot of stunning things. Alex Thompson wrote this book with Tapper. He's basically the main guy from Axios. And again, he did do some legit reporting on this, at least in 2023, about this decline. I haven't read the book. I've read excerpts too. He said that, you know who was walking around the joint acting like they were chief of staff? Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden, of all people, walking around in command. Here's another aspect of this, and I think
that's
he would
nothing
agree
to snort at.
Well, that's a good line. And then this is Sally Quinn from the Washington Post, who's usually an idiot, but you know what? I agree with her here.
I blame Jill Biden for this. Jill Biden is his wife, and if Jill Biden has stood up and has gone to him and said, "Joe, you can't do it, and if you do, you're on your own. I'm out," he wouldn't have run because he couldn't have done it without her support. And, you know, she clearly was in favor of his running. And I just think it was a terrible disservice to the country.
Well, you know what? Let's take the campaign out of it. He was supposed to be running the country. So she's
right.
She's complicit, aiding and abetting that as well.
Well, that's all right. You know, I think the thing that most of us can identify with is taking away the license, the driver's license from aging parents who are clearly no longer capable of driving safely. And we know how many people just hate to do that and decline to do that. In this case, of course, Jill Biden and Hunter, their whole position is dependent upon Joe being in office. It's like all these people who surround Elvis Presley or whoever it is. They're not going to be on the plane anymore if they criticize the one guy who's getting the invitation, who owns the plane. And that's the story. And you could see the Democrats in Congress abetted this as well.
Absolutely.
It's just shocking. It really is.
You still have Jim Clyburn out there, Charles, who's defending this. Now, he's 83 himself. He's actually acting like nothing was awry. Some of these people are. And here's the advantage, and I think you would agree. And I said this yesterday. Maybe I even said it in the opening. Most of the people who are watching the coverage of this, they don't know the depths of it because they're not listening to the Megyn Kelly podcast, which was incredible. They're not reading
She's
the book.
Great.
They're seeing references. But you know as well as I do that CNN and ABC and all these, they're not doing a deep dive into this because if they were, they'd be embarrassing themselves. So they continue. The cover-up was there. The cover-up continued during the campaign. The cover-up didn't get exposed until Jake Tapper started being involved with this book. And the cover-up continues because they're covering up the cover-up.
Well, I think you're missing the big point. Who is going to buy Hunter's paintings?
Charles Lipson, you're always great. I got to run to a break, but thank you so much. I hope all is well.
It is. I'm glad you're back from Greece.
Me too, Charles. It was a great trip, by the way. You got to go on the next one with me, maybe Croatia next
Bye-bye.
Year. We're going to talk about that.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to tell you, just because these big, beautiful bills, no matter what they are, big, beautiful bills are very hard to break down. And I don't know all the details. When you say love it, you mean
the music,
yeah,
sorry.
Squeeze. I like this song too. But there's a lot of horse trading that was going on this week. And, you know, all the information is a little unclear. Look, I can't trust what's coming out of the legacy media. So I don't exactly know what the final product looks like. And by the way, the final product is going to look different when it goes to the Senate. But they did get it across the board. But you did have people in there. There were rumors that some Republicans were torpedoing anything that was meant to undo the Inflation Reduction Act. Some of the clean energy, green grifting stuff out there. Of course, the carve-outs, the tax carve-outs. Carve-outs for salt, which is now up to a $40,000 deduction. But here's what I would also say, and then this is important. I know, and I've tried to impress upon many of you that I don't like the RINO phrase, like Republican in name only, because you have Republicans out in New York, in California, that were vital to this majority. Let's think about it. This could have gone. You could have had Trump in there right now with a Democrat, Hakeem Jeffries, being the speaker. And this would be a disaster. You couldn't get any of this done, right? It's hard enough to get it done with the numbers that you have right now. But I bring it up because that New York Republican and Mike Lawler and some of these other folks, he wins in a district that Kamala Harris won, right? So it's different than Jason Smith or Bob Onder. These are different districts, and they all kind of have to come together. And, you know, they make their cases, and then you have what is called the big, beautiful bill. So there is a $7,500 federal EV tax credit that now is a step closer to be canceled. That's going over to the Senate. There's little things that they got rid of. But I can't sit here and say stamp of approval because, you know, they do this stuff to a certain extent under the cover of darkness. Now, here in the middle of the night last night, one of our new congressmen, who we still maybe hope is better than Cori Bush, we're not completely sure. I don't think he's going to be much better. Although, in fairness to Wesley Bell, he has done some economic things that I think are positive for St. Louis, and maybe we need them even more than ever. But here he does a little Facebook post with his, can we get some? Look, I said this before, too. God bless Kara Spencer, but she looked better with the hat on. Okay, I love cool hip hair, but you're the mayor of St. Louis. Let's do something about it. The same thing with Wesley. What in the hell is going on with this hair? But you had to watch it if you saw this video.
On this vote, the yeas are 200.
That is not Wesley Bell. Sorry about that. Here he is.
So Republicans in the dead of night are trying to pass a bill that will be the biggest cut in health care in the history of this country. And again, doing it in the middle of the night because they know most media won't cover it.
No. Here's what we know. Yeah, we do know that most media won't cover it. And all he's talking about there is, oh, man, it's tough to have a work requirement when you're sucking off the teat of the federal government.
Yep.
That's what they're asking for right now, right?
Yep.
So he's full of you-know-what. But here is Mike Johnson announcing the passage.
On this vote, the yeas are 215, the nays are 214, with one answering present. The bill is passed.
All right, so they get it across the finish line. A lot of credit has to go to, although, again, I haven't seen all the details here, but Jason Smith is a big part of this. He is the chair of the most powerful committee on Capitol Hill. That's Ways and Means. And another thing, and I don't know if this is going to be very present in the reporting about the big, beautiful bill. You guys can follow this and track this in the next couple of days. This is still amazing to me. You talk about cover-ups. Nobody at the New York Times, the Washington Post, all these legacy outlets wanted to report in the fall that, you know, if Kamala Harris gets elected, these 2017 tax cuts, they're repealed. Everybody in America's taxes go up. Everyone.
Yep.
Everybody.
They don't mention that.
They don't.
All.
They never cover that whatsoever. So Mike Johnson's message to his colleagues in the other chamber.
Modify this as little as possible because it will make it easier for us to get it over the line ultimately and finished and get it to the president's desk by July 4th.
So I'm going to hold some, you know, caution here just because I don't know all the details. And I'll say that not all the details are probably going to be good. And maybe you can work some of those kinks out in the Senate. I don't know because, again, you don't have the numbers. So this is still very tough. But the goal is to get it there by the 4th of July. The goal this week was before Memorial Day. I think these guys now get to fly home to their families. And we'll vet this thing. We'll look at the details. Maybe there's some dirty details. Maybe those dirty details should be removed. But you think you're going to get accurate coverage from the legacy media? I think we've learned our lesson on that.
Get more at 971talk.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.